So this morning's message is Jars of Clay. When I was a boy, if you can believe I was one, I loved reading about pirates, watching pirates movies, dressing up like a pirate, playing a pirate. I even made pirate maps. Who did this when they were younger? Crumpled up the paper, put dirt on it, burned the edges, and I made maps around my backyard or other things. It was so much fun. And then when the Pirates of the Caribbean movies came out, our family watched them all. They kind of got weirder as they went along, but I watched the original one this past week just because it got me in a pirate kind of a mood. I had fun dressing up like a pirate for Trunk or Treat a few years back. Who remembers that stormy Trunk or Treat when our hot dog tent blew away? That was good times. Anyway, I even celebrate National Talk Like a Pirate Day. Yes, that's a real thing since 1995. September 19th, put it on your calendar. You can say piratey things like ahoy or avast or arr. You can do all your pirate jokes. So send me a text on that day or call me and talk like a pirate. It's good stuff. If you would, with me, close your eyes and picture some kind of container, some kind of thing where you would keep valuable things. Is this what you saw? This is my pirate chest from the 1970s, so it's now an antique. It's 50 years old, and it has my treasures in it. It has watches and keys to things that I've forgotten. It has pins and it has some jewelry, and I've had this for that long. That's how long I keep things. There's good things, and they're safe from the pirates because they're in my chest. This morning's passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, "We have a great treasure, but instead of being in a strong chest, it's in a weak, fragile clay jar. If I dropped this, maybe not on the carpet, but if I dropped it on the table, it would probably shatter into lots of little pieces because it is fragile. It's made to let moisture in and out. It's made for plants to grow. It was inexpensive. So in Bible times, just about everything was made in some kind of a clay jar, and they used them for all kinds of household items. They didn't have plastic like we have today. This morning, we're going to talk about having treasure in what looks like a weak, invaluable clay pot. Let's see what that's going to mean for us today. If you're just joining us, and I know we have some guests with us, our sermon series is Strength and Suffering. And those themes show up over and over again in 2 Corinthians, in this incredible letter that the Apostle Paul penned to the church in Corinth. As I mentioned earlier in communion, that was 1 Corinthians. That was the first letter he wrote to them, and they had all kinds of issues. One of them was communion. They were treating it wrongly. Paul now is writing a second letter, which we believe might have been his third or fourth. They didn't all make it into the Bible, but he is correcting some problems. And in particular, he's defending his ministry, letting them know that he is a true apostle. We find strength in our relationship in Jesus Christ because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the Spirit of God. We have a treasure in our hearts. And we're called to strengthen and encourage one another. But believers should not be surprised that there's going to be suffering. There are going to be trials when we are followers of Jesus Christ. And because in our suffering, in our weakness, the strength of God is on full display. And it's even more miraculous because people can see that we are just another person. We're just like them. And yet, here is this strength inside. Where does that come from? Not from me, but from God. And that brings Him glory. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to read the next section in that passage. And I'm actually going to back up a verse to verse 6 because this lets us know what Paul is talking about in verse 7 when he says, but. But is a conjunction. It's a connecting word, so we need to know what was said before it. So we're going to start in verse 6, and we'll read down through verse 15 for this morning. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. If you are taking notes, the back of the bulletin has a place where you can fill them in. And our first point is, we are weak. If you're with us this morning, I know the Wolfs are and others are. You can turn to our website, dunkirkbaptist.org, and you can find this morning's message there, and you'll find an outline so you can follow along with us as well. We are weak. Is that what you came to hear this morning? When I say we, I'm including you and me. We are weak. A jar is a container for holding something. That's its purpose. And there are many fancy containers, like a crystal vase or a Fabergé egg worth $30 million to someone. But their function is still just to hold something. The vase to hold flowers and the eggs some kind of a gift. They were not the treasure themselves. They were just the containers. So Paul uses this illustration of a jar made of clay. And this is not a biblical time clay jar. It's one from Linda Guy. Thank you, Linda, for letting me borrow this. I only had plastic ones in my garage, sadly. So a clay jar carries something. And in this case, it carries a plant or a vegetable that is something valuable to us. The treasure that believers carry is the light of the gospel, as we saw in those previous verses. So when we are weak, we make it extra clear that we are not powerful ourselves, but it is God's power within us. So we humbly point to God. We bring him glory instead of drawing attention to ourselves or boasting in our abilities. If I had a beautiful sunflower in this pot, you wouldn't even notice the pot. You'd be looking at the sunflower and say, wow, that is so beautiful. Look how God made this flower grow. Can you picture it right there? A big sunflower with all the seeds in it? You're not going to even think about the pot. Job poured out his soul to God. We know that Job faced many afflictions. He lost family members. He lost valuable livestock. He lost his health. And he remembered that he is frail, just like clay. Job 10, 8 to 9 says, he's speaking to God, your hands fashioned and made me, and now you have destroyed me altogether. Remember that you have made me like clay, and you will return me to the dust. It's a perfect illustration because a clay pot is made of the dust of the earth, right? The finest silty clay that we find in the soil, and we can fashion it together and bake it so it turns into something. We are made of dust. We are made of the elements of the earth, and we will return to that dust. So here in verses 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul describes some of the struggles, some of the difficulties he faced in carrying out his ministry as an apostle. Remember, he's defending his position as an apostle. And in each one of these weaknesses, he also describes the goodness of God, how God sustains and protected him and his companions from total destruction. Look at verse 8. We are afflicted in every way. This means troubled or bothered. And he says we're afflicted in every way possible, but we were not crushed. Have you ever felt crushed by something? Have you said those words? I just am crushed. Often it's a person that we care deeply about that can crush us like that. Paul says, we're not totally broken. You will recover. In our afflictions, no matter what happens to us, we are never totally crushed because the Spirit of God is in us. And he talks about Jesus raising us up with him to heaven. Believers still have hope. And like the old hymn says, my anchor holds. Even though I am crushed, even though I'm afflicted, I will not be crushed. And then Paul admits that at times we're perplexed, we're confused, we're uncertain, but we are not driven to despair. While we don't always know how things are going to turn out or what the purpose of this particular struggle is, believers don't need to fall into utter depression. Jesus told his followers, we can expect difficulties. In this world, you will have trials and tribulations, but take heart. Be courageous, because I have already overcome the world. Jesus says, don't forget, we win. And he had already won over death and over the grave. Paul goes on to say, we were persecuted. That means they were attacked because they were preaching Jesus, the Son of God, is the only way to be forgiven. Jesus is the only way to have eternal life. And in his day, the people pointed to this God and that God and all kinds of other ideas, and they came out saying, this is what God says. There's only one way. There's only one way to the Father, through me. And so because they preached that, in Acts 13, we learn that the Jews in Antioch who had not followed Jesus stirred the people up against Paul and Barnabas. They chased them out of the city. You can picture them with wooden pitchforks and torches running after them. Get out of here. We don't want to hear about your Jesus. There's many more examples throughout the New Testament of stonings and beatings and imprisonment and more. But Paul says that believers, just like him, can find courage because no matter how much we are persecuted, we are never forsaken. God promised Joshua, as we had that great series earlier this year, I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus told his followers, I'm sending the Spirit. The Spirit will be with you forever. Then Paul says, we were struck down. We were literally knocked to the ground, as low as we could be. I'm picturing Paul and Silas on the floor of a prison cell in chains. They've been whipped and beaten. They've been literally struck down. They're at their lowest. And he says, but we are not destroyed. Psalm 118:6, that Jasper read for us, says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Apostle Paul, Silas, Barnabas, these men were beaten. They were imprisoned. They were struck down, but never destroyed. Because God's Spirit was in them. They knew that they had an eternal soul. And even if they lost their lives, they would never be destroyed because God had chosen them. God had saved them. You have that same encouragement. Whatever's knocking you down, whatever's perplexing you, whatever's driving you to be knocked down and feeling like you're at your lowest, don't despair. Don't feel forsaken because you have not been destroyed. Nothing can touch you. Paul and his ministry companions endured so many difficulties in their ministry. Just traveling in that first century was dangerous. There were storms at seas. There were thieves on the road. There was not a Hampton Inn in sight. We can tell from Paul's letters how much he cared about the believers and the churches. He prayed for them all. He thanked God for them. He was concerned for their spiritual growth. And through that all, Paul was never a superman. He didn't have angelic powers. He wasn't immune from danger. He wasn't untouched by weakness or weariness and stress. Instead, by God's sovereign control, his life and ministry put his limited abilities on full display. Paul realized that these weaknesses were not a hindrance to him, but somehow the power of the gospel became even more evident and more clear as people saw him suffering and still singing for joy. They sang while they were imprisoned, and the guard of the prison said, "What is this thing that you have? What is it? What's this difference? You're unlike anyone I've ever seen. How can you have joy when you're here chained in a dark, empty cell?" That's a treasure that's in a weak vessel. Paul doesn't cower. He doesn't hide from real life. He doesn't see himself as worthless. He simply admits, "I am human." And God's work is magnified. It's even more amazing because of my frailty. So as a follower of Jesus Christ, I've recognized that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I can't work to earn forgiveness. I can't be good enough to reach God's perfect standard of righteousness. My words will never save anyone. But the power of the gospel is evident in the changes in my life. The good news that I share is God's word, and it is living and active. The surpassing power of the gospel comes from God and not from me. In verse 10, back to our passage, Paul says, "I carry in my body the death of Jesus so that his life may be clearly seen. For his sake, we are given over to death. Our mortal bodies are going to suffer and will eventually die. But Jesus overcame the grave so that we can live eternally." When I'm sick, which isn't too often, or when I wake up after a softball game or pickleball and my shoulder and my arm just don't move the way they should, I'm reminded that this body is a temporary jar for my eternal soul. When we see loved ones get sick, when we see them pass away, we mourn for that loss. But we can rejoice when we know that they're part of God's family and we can see them again. Paul says we don't mourn like those without hope, because we have hope in the treasure that God has placed in our soul, his Spirit, reminding us that in my weakness, there is something great that I have to share, and that's the treasure of the good news, the gospel. In this fragile, earthly jar of clay is wonderful working power. God is powerful. We memorized the first chapter of Ephesians together some time ago, so you're going to recognize some of these verses, but just listen to these verses and hear about God's power and strength. If you want to turn to Ephesians 1, I'll start there and then jump around a little bit. having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. Here Paul is talking about God's great and mighty power working in those who believe in Jesus Christ. And then over to chapter 3, Ephesians 3:7, of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. Never does Paul talk about his own power. He talks about God's power. He talks about the grace and power working within him to allow him to be a minister of the gospel, especially to the Gentiles. And then just down a couple more verses, Ephesians 3:16, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Our body, this clay jar, will get weak, and it will eventually turn back to dust. But in our spirit, we will be strengthened, and our spirit, our soul, will return to be resurrected with Christ. Believers are given that strength through the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. A couple more verses down, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. You remember that song? There is power, power, wonder-working power. Where's it found? In me? In the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, his Spirit at work in my life. And then Paul, as he writes to the Philippians, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, I may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. When we suffer, when we struggle, we can remember Christ's suffering and his struggle and his death for us. But because of God's power, he was raised, and we too will be raised. There's nothing that I've come across that is even close to what Jesus suffered for my sake. Because when he suffered, we grew in faith. And it helped Paul taste a little bit of what Christ's sacrifice was like on the cross. So believers, when you are suffering, you can thank God and say, thank you, God, for letting me suffer like your son did. Let me realize that I am just a clay pot, but there's great treasure within me. Your spirit is here. Philippians 3:21, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself? The power of God is going to transform me to be like Christ in his glorious state. The power that created the universe and holds everything together is the power that is transforming our lowly bodies to be like Jesus. Colossians 1:11, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. God's power might help us endure sufferings and struggles, not only with patience, but with the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Paul is writing to a young pastor, Timothy, and says, don't be timid in sharing your spiritual gifts. Fan them to flame like a fire. We don't need to fear. Instead, we have God's Spirit in us, giving us power, love, and self-control. This morning, are you fearful? Are you worried about what other people are thinking or saying if they find out that you're a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you afraid to stand up for Jesus and share your faith? Maybe you're worried about your health or a loved one who is struggling. Do you know the power of God's Spirit in your life? Bring your worries, bring your fears to God, and ask him to show that power. That's why Paul could say, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. It's not my own strength. It's God helping me endure, helping me show love, helping me have even self-control in difficult situations. That's the power that lets us react in a way that's pleasing to God, in a way that is glorifying to God. Every trial that comes your way, you can say, thank you, God, for this opportunity, for the treasure to be on display in my weak body. For people to see me struggling with the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one, physical struggles, financial problems, and for me to still have the joy of the Lord and be able to say, it's nothing that I've come up with. It's all God. It's all God. To him be the glory. And that's the reason that we face struggles. It's for God to be glorified. Verses 13 to 16 tell us the purpose of God's power in our lives. Listen to those verses again, just the last couple. And I lost my place. There we are. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Do you see any interesting punctuation in verse 13? Our students are here with us, and school hasn't started yet, but look in the verse and tell me what interesting punctuation you see. The little marks around the words. Do you see the quote marks? Remember air quotes? We had somebody in our previous church who air quoted various things that really didn't make any sense, but it was fun. There are quotes around, I believed and I spoke. And when we see those quotes, it means he's quoting someone else in the Bible. Just before that, Paul says, we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written. We can find this phrase in the Old Testament, and it's in Psalm 116:10. Let me read those verses for you. Psalm 116, I'm going to read 6 to 10. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And here's our verse. I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. When the psalmist said, I am greatly afflicted, I believed. I believed in God. I believed that he would bring me up from this struggle. I believed that he was still with me. And the apostle Paul says, since we've believed in Jesus Christ, since we believe in our salvation, we also speak about that. The things that we believe are what we're going to speak about. I believed, and so I spoke. That's going to be the natural outpouring of your soul. I believed in Jesus. How could I not speak about him? We tell people the good news, and here is God's power at work again. He who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us and bring us to heaven into his presence. And then verse 15 ends with, as more and more people experience God's grace, the gift of salvation, the result is there is thanksgiving, and that is to the glory of God. When we recognize that we are weak, when we accept the gift of salvation, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we give thanks to God. We want all the credit to go to him alone. We're not asking to people to follow us or become our fans. We want God to be glorified. We want people to see his power at work in us, to see him at work in our lives, making us think, speak, and act more like Jesus and less like us. People who haven't met you in a while or seen you in a long while should say, there's something different. Not quite sure what it is. And then if they spend a little more time with you, they should say, what is this? What's changed? It's Jesus. He's changed my life. And your purpose is ultimately to glorify God. CCA students, some of you are here, and any of you who know our verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31, say it with me. Whether you eat or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. There's another verse like that that says what our primary purpose is, what our goal in life. 2 Corinthians 5:9, whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. What pleases God? Doing His will. Obeying His word. Acting the way He knows is best for us. That's what He's given us in His word. Not a list of do's and don'ts, but this is the way to live life to its fullest. Jesus said, I came to give you life that you may live it to the best that there is. The fullest life you can have is by following God's word. Acting like Jesus. And the result is bringing glory to God. Does that describe your life? What you spend your time thinking about? What you talk about? The words that you use? How you act when things don't go the way you expected? Or when someone is especially mean or cruel to you? Do you respond the way Jesus does? When things are going my way, I can be very much like Jesus. I can say please and thank you, and I can smile because everything's going the way I want. But when it doesn't, when I'm weak, when things are not going my way, that's a chance for Jesus to be glorified in me, for people to say, what's this response? Why are you acting this way when things are not going your way? It's because I have a great treasure. And it's not this stuff in my box. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who's been walking with me for over 50 years, and I'm so thankful for that. A couple of takeaway questions. Do you have the treasure that Paul was talking about? Have you admitted to God that you are a sinner, that you are weak, that you are unable to save yourself? It takes humility to be a follower of God. Have you trusted in Jesus who died on the cross, paying the price for your sins, and then rose again so that you could have a new life? Do you have that treasure? If you don't, I would love to give you a taste of what that is, to explain to you, as you've heard this morning, how you can have that treasure, to humble yourself and say, God, I need you. I'm not going to keep trying this on my own. Another question, instead of complaining about your weakness, or maybe pretending that you can do anything and you can do whatever you want, do you thank God for the reminders that He is the real power within you? That's why Paul could say, I rejoice in my sufferings, because when I am weak, then I am strong. His Spirit is working within you to change you to be more like Jesus Christ. And that doesn't come by everything being easy. It comes through challenges, through persecutions. James says, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials, because they develop in you that patience, that strength, and a greater faith to rely on Jesus. Do you act like you have it all together? Or do you let other people see that God is the one shining through you? Or maybe you're feeling so weak and so powerless that you think that God just doesn't care. You're never going to be worth anyone's time. If God has saved you, then He calls you His son, His daughter, and that makes you someone special to the God of the universe. The one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The one who sustains everything that we know and see that God says, you're my son, you're my daughter, and I care for you. Jesus Christ gave his own life for you. And he says, I give you a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of self-control, not a spirit of fear and worthlessness. So call out to God. Ask him to remind you of what he's done and what he's doing right now. Remind yourself that you're going to be at home with him when this life is over. We are not crushed. We're not given to despair. We are not destroyed because miraculous life of Jesus is on display in our lives. Mark's going to come. We're going to sing a closing song. Would you bow and pray with me? Father, thank you for this illustration this morning of our weakness and yet having a great treasure, a treasure that's worth more than anything this world has to offer, knowing Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you for rising victorious from death. Thank you for offering us new life in you. And Father, thank you for adopting us into your family that we could be called the sons and daughters of God. Lord, I pray that we would live like this, that when we are struggling, when we are weak, we wouldn't try to hide it. We would instead give thanks and praise to you. We would know that our joy is in you and you alone. And I pray, Lord, that what we believe, we would speak, we would share that with others, that we would give the reason for the hope that we have within us. So, brothers and sisters, may you be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and being strengthened in all power according to his glorious might. In the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior, I pray. Amen.